Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age of Kali to establish the Yuga Dharma, the three external reasons for the Lord's appearance are described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. One, to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanava dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyam paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapa narataya sambhavani shuke shuke. That in every millennium, in order to, when there is a decrease in proper religion and an increase in irreligion, the Lord descends. To reestablish principles religion, protect the devotees, the pious, and to annihilate the miscreant. So the Lord appeared in this age of Kali to fulfill that promise. Also, to reciprocate with the loving appeal of his devotees. Sri Advaitacharya, Sri Vasacharya, Haridas Thakur, they were completely saturated in the ecstasies of spiritual love. But yet in that state, their hearts were suffering to see others bereft of that love. This is the nature of a pure soul. The more we love Krishna, the more we feel the happiness of loving Krishna, the more we taste the sweetness of Krishna's mercy, the more naturally we suffer when we see others don't have that. Because the devotee is paradukaduki, suffers to see others suffering. And the greatest, the only real suffering is to forget Krishna. It is the source of all suffering. It is that forgetfulness that casts us into this world of temporary illusion and keeps us here. So Advaitacharya is crying out with tears, with great emotion, crying out, Krishna, please save these people. No one but you could save them. Descend to this world. And hearing that loving appeal of his devotee, he descended to this world. And also in every age, there is a Yuga Dharma, and there is a Yuga Avatar that establishes it. In this age of Kali, the Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy names. Kalera dosani de rajan astihi kumahanguna kirtanareva krishnasya mukta sangha param prajet. This age of Kali is an ocean of thoughts, but there is one benediction, and that benediction is so priceless. If you take all the unlimited faults of Kali Yuga and put it on one side of a scale and put this one benediction on the other scale, it will immediately outweigh all the billions and trillions of faults. That is the power of this one benediction. And that is why the sages, the rishis, according to the Bhagavad, they worship Kali Yuga. Is the best of all ages. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's the age where irreligion is taken to be religion and religion is taken to be irreligion. It's the age where it begins with hardly 25% of people living with any piety or devotion to God, and it just degrades more and more and more. It's the age where, at the advanced stages, due to unnatural, unholy impious lives, people hardly can live beyond 20 years old. If you're 25, you're a grand old man or woman. Now, if the sages and the rishis are part of dukkha-dukkhi, their happiness is others' happiness, their sufferings is others' sufferings, why they worship Kali Yuga as the best of all ages? Because of this one benediction. It is so priceless, it is so great, it is so rare that anyone at this age of Kali can attain the ultimate supreme perfection of the highest realizations of divine love simply by performing Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world to establish the Yuga Dharma. Harinam, 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 Evatehram, Kalgoda, Seva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Katiran, Yata. There was no other way in Kali of achieving this perfection. If you want some peace of mind within the turbulence of this material world, there are other ways of getting peace of mind. There are different processes of pranayama. There are different processes of silent meditation. There are different processes of just therapy in which you can get better peace of mind. If you want mystic potencies, there are other ways of getting those through the Astanga Yoga system. If you want impersonal liberation through the process of jnana, meditation, and samadhi, it is possible to achieve mukti. But if you want the ultimate perfection of life, prema bhakti, the awakening of the eternal nature of the soul to love God, that ananda, there is no other way in this age except cleaning the heart through chanting the names of the Lord. Nasteva, 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 Nasteva. There simply isn't any other way. If that is what you want, the perfection of life, the awakening of the constitutional, ecstatic nature of the soul, it is only the name of God that can awaken that in this age of Kali. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarvashanti. So there are many names of God. It is not a sectarian concept. And each of these proper names of God are invested with the power, the potencies, the opulence, and the mercy of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the role of a devotee, not only to establish the greatest priority in life is to take shelter of God's name, but he taught by his example and by the example of his devotees how to chant the names of God, to actually access the complete mercy of the holy name. Because Krishna tells in Gita, as you approach him, as you surrender to him, he reciprocates accordingly. He's none different than his name. If we're proud, if we're materially distracted, if we have so many attachments, if we're breaking regulative principles, then what will our consciousness be when we chant the names of the Lord? Will get minimum benefit. To the degree we're sincere, we're striving and longing for real perfection, we're willing to actually call out the name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, then the name of the Lord will act by quickly powerfully cleansing this heart. Therefore, in Shikshastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first explains the whole system of how the name of the Lord purifies the heart in the first verse. Then the potency and the identity of God is not different than his name. And then in the third verse, he tells us the process in which we must develop to chant Prinadapi sunichena taror ibasiyeshana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To have humility like a blade of grass, tolerance like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, in this way we can chant the name constantly. And these are the qualities of every great Vaishnava, without exception. All the true and great Vaishnavas that we read about historically, they all had these qualities. And what should our aspiration be? Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gatisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishvari bhavatat bhaktirohoite. What do we want through chanting the holy names? What is our aspiration? I do not want money. I do not want association with the beauty of the opposite sex. I do not want fame or prestige or position. I do not want to be known as a great scholar or poet. I do not want liberation from suffering. I only want to be your servant, my Lord, unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. I nanda tuluja kinkaram patitamam ishamebhavam. My Lord, your mercy, just let me be a speck of dust at your lotus feet. So this is the consciousness that the devotees are trying to cultivate. Not to have big, high positions, but to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. That is a position billions of times higher than even Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. What to speak of being a temple president? To be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the consciousness of a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three internal reasons for coming. Essentially, Krishna wanted to experience the love of Srimati Radharani, understand the happiness she feels when she tastes his love, and the nature of that love. And Krishna wanted to distribute the quality of that love of Srimati Radharani, the highest love of following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, to distribute that in this material world. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Vidayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Goradvishe Nama. Lord Chaitanya is most munificent, most merciful. He's giving what no other incarnation has ever given. Rupa Goswami describes like this. This level of love of Krishna. Swarup Damodar Goswami explains, Anarapita Charin Chirat Karuna Bhakyanaka. What is the benediction of Lord Chaitanya? Inconceivable, unheard of, even amongst avatars. He's giving to the most fallen people of this age of Kali, even to Jagais and Madais, he's giving the love of the residents of Vrindavan. He's giving the Madhurya Rasa of the spiritual world freely to the people of this world through the proper method of chanting the holy names. Therefore, this age of Kali is worshipable because there is the greatest extent of facility to receive causeless mercy of the highest content. And through parampara, this mercy has descended. And it is this mercy that Srila Prabhupada perfectly embodied in his life, in his teachings, and in his sacrifice of taking this culture, this substance, this essence of all spiritual love. He was the first to spread it throughout the entire world. And he created a worldwide family with this inspiration. When Prabhupada was asked, how can we repay you? Prabhupada did nothing for himself. Prabhupada's reply was, you can repay me simply by accepting the mercy I've given you, by following my teachings. He didn't want anything for himself. He just wanted us to be happy with Krishna. We could repay Prabhupada. He said, just accept the mercy I'm giving you by following my teachings. To the degree you follow, you're accepting mercy. Mercy's coming profusely upon every one of us. But how much are we accessing it? How much are we receiving it? How much are we actually accepting it? We accept it to the degree we follow. And then he said, and what I have given you, share it with others. That is how you can repay me. He wanted nothing for himself, just that we become spiritually happy by taking his mercy, and that we make others happy by giving that mercy, by being instruments of that mercy. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that was his instruction to Srila Prabhupada on their first meeting. Take this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread it throughout the world in the English language. You will benefit and the whole world will benefit. Harivo. Prabhupada took that order as his life and soul. It was Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy that manifested through that order. And that is what Prabhupada gave us. And that is what Prabhupada's family is dedicated to. Serving Prabhupada's mission of compassion. Prabhupada's life and soul. He went on that Jaladutta at 70 years old on Friday the 13th of August 1965. And he suffered heart attacks on the Arabian Sea and seasickness. And he had no money. 40 useless rupees, which had no value outside of India. And didn't even know anyone. He took that risk to be an instrument of mercy. He lived in the poverty of the ghettos of the Bowery. He had his life threatened. He was ridiculed. But he persisted. Because he was an instrument of that mercy. He was the embodiment of that mercy. And he established Krishna consciousness in a little tiny storefront on 26th Second Avenue. And there were a few people with long hair and hippie clothes. They weren't all, you know, following the regulative principles. And he had some well-wishers and a couple people who were just becoming devotees to bring a lawyer. And he incorporated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This was bewildering. There was only a few people taking a little bit of interest in one little storefront, in a little corner of the Lower East Side. And Prabhupada incorporated it as the International Society. Only Prabhupada had this vision. Prabhupada knew the power of the order of his guru. Prabhupada knew the power of the holy name. And what he did to spread the holy name. San Francisco, Montreal, London, Paris, Hamburg, all over America, all over India, all over Europe, all over Australia. In Prabhupada's lifetime, the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada said himself, with all humility, it is spreading like wildfire. Wherever he would open a temple, it was filled up and overcrowded with devotees practically immediately. Here in London, Prabhupada was living at Tittenhurst Estate, the house of John Lennon of the Beatles, because there was no temple, there was no facility. And then somehow or other they got this facility that they were renting at Berry Place near the British Museum. And that was glorious. They actually had a place with several floors for the devotees. And the next time Prabhupada came, it was so overcrowded. People were sleeping in the stairways. People were sleeping in the hallways. Prabhupada said, we need a bigger place for the devotees. So George Harrison helped and got Bhaktivedanta Manor. This is the way it was all over the world. Wherever Prabhupada started a center, it was just overcrowded, overflowing. 26 Second Avenue, within a few months, it just was outgrown. They went to 61 Second Avenue. Hardly a year later, they had to go all the way to Brooklyn to get a big building, gigantic building. And that wasn't big enough. They got a skyscraper in 55th Street, and that was overflowing. Haribo. These are very transcendental problems. They got church in Toronto. It was overflowing with over 100 devotees. They got a place in Montreal, about 80, 90 devotees soon. Full time, living within. New Dwarka, big church, overflowing with devotees. Spreading like wildfire. And Prabhupada, yes, he created a worldwide family. And what keeps that family alive? Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. It was the spirit of his vision and his love that manifested Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, and our Paramparas mercy to manifest all over the world. Prabhupada never considered ISKCON to be his movement. This is Rupa Goswami's movement. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This is Radha Gokulananda's movement. Prabhupada would say, my only qualification, I'm simply repeating the words of my Guru Maharaj, which is the perfect word of God. But Prabhupada declared himself to be the founder Acharya because he was the one who was specially empowered to bring the full-fledged essence of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world. The first person in all of history to take the highest substance of Lord Chaitanya's grace to the world. It was Lord Chaitanya's instruction, Nityananda Prabhu's prediction, that in every town and village throughout the world, my name should be chanted. Harivo. Now, Mahaprabhu himself traveled throughout most all of India and fulfilled that prophecy. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and the others of Vrindavan, the six Goswamis, they established the very foundation through their literatures, through their behavior, through their example, through establishing the greatness of Vrindavan, which is the ultimate goal of Vaishnava. And the other acharyas all played their roles in such a perfect way. Many descended from Goloka Vrindavan just to preserve the essence and increase the essence and manifest the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But according to the prediction, it was Srila Prabhupada that was the one who took this mercy as it is and spread it throughout the world and influenced every type of person, from scholars to hippies. From very religious people to atheists. Practically every major language of the world, Prabhupada's books were being translated and distributed by the tens and millions. So Prabhupada's vision, Prabhupada's spirit, Prabhupada's directions of how to expand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in its pure form throughout the world is Prabhupada's mission. And I remember hearing a tape, I think it was 1973 in Los Angeles, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disappearance day. Prabhupada's giving a lecture. I'm sure you all must have heard it. It's one of the most moving lectures. Prabhupada is explaining his relationship with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's explaining a brief summary of the great achievements of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's life. And the order that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave to him. And Prabhupada was humbly saying, it is all his mercy, it is all his grace. And then Prabhupada became very grave, very, very serious. Very serious. He became choked up. With a faltering voice, he said, I am an old man. I can die at any moment. You are always so young. They started to cry. And he was thanking his devotees. He was begging. He was begging you, me, all of us. He was begging us that I could leave any time. Please carry on this movement of my Guru Maharaj. So who was he speaking to? He wasn't just speaking to the room full of people in Los Angeles. He was speaking to every one of his followers whose hearts were touched by the mercy he was giving. When we read Prabhupada's books, when we hear Prabhupada's tapes, especially such appeals as this, if we're actually really seriously wanting to receive his mercy, we have to take it personally. Prabhupada is appealing. Prabhupada is begging with a faltering voice and tears in his eyes. He's begging us to carry forward his Guru Maharaj's mission. To take that order seriously is love. True love. Prabhupada's begging and crying. He gave his life for us. This is how we can reciprocate. By carrying forward his Guru Maharaj's mission. His mission. And how do we do that? To do that is to keep Prabhupada's family alive. It's not just some sentimental stuff. Prabhupada's mission, Prabhupada's family, is really based on the mission of compassion that he gave to us and ordered us to expand in this world. Prabhupada gave us the holy name, the Yuga Dharma, the all-powerful presence of the Lord, the prime benediction for all humanity. We must take responsibility in our lives to take shelter of the holy name as a foremost responsibility and priority. That is what Prabhupada is teaching us in all lectures, in all books, in all of his personal examples. This is the Hare Krishna movement. It is a movement to take shelter of the holy name and to make the name of Krishna famous throughout the world. Hare Krishna. So yes, keeping family alive is not just an external, superficial thing of patting each other's backs and taking prasad together every now and then. That's good. That's wonderful. That's necessary. But for what? The real life of the Hare Krishna movement is to the extent that devotees are actually taking shelter of the holy name and taking risks to distribute the glories of the holy name. Is that not what Prabhupada did? Is that not what Prabhupada urged, begged, ordered, instructed, wanted all of us to do? According to our capacity to purify our own hearts and be an instrument of Mahaprabhu's love to others. Prabhupada said purity is the force. He wanted us to be enthusiastic to become purified. Yes? Prabhupada said, dead people can't preach. Without enthusiasm, we're dead. We must be enthusiastic. We must have life. And that enthusiasm and life comes by our own personal sadhana and our own personal associations. Yes. Prabhupada wanted us to enthusiastically take shelter of the holy name. He appealed to his devotees to take vows to chant the holy names. Because to the degree we're pure, to that degree, we can actually be empowered to manifest the message of the Lord. When devotees ask Prabhupada, what thing pleases you most? Prabhupada said, when you love Krishna, that pleases him most. But what does it mean to love Krishna? It means to do Krishna's will. It means to really do Krishna's will, which begins with purifying our own heart and helping to enlighten others to purify their hearts. Prabhupada did not approve so much of bhajananandis. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. He wanted the congregational devotees, the temple devotees, everyone to work together in cooperation for the purpose of reaching out to the fallen souls. But if we're not reaching out to each other, how can we be effective to reach out to the fallen souls? Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. As a preaching movement, Prabhupada explained that we have declared war against Maya. It's a battle against Maya to preach pure love of God in this age. Do you understand? It's a battle. There may be only a few of us, but that's enough. If we're empowered by Krishna, we can have tremendous effect. But what happens in a battlefield? If right in the battlefield, the soldiers in your own army start shooting and fighting against each other, Is there any chance of winning the war? You have the powerful forces of Maya and Maya's entire army, which outnumbers us tremendously, and all the weapons of lust and envy and anger and pride and greed. They're just coming at us. There's missiles and atom bombs and nuclear warheads just coming at us by Maya from all directions, from within and without. Yes? That's what it's about, trying to become Krishna conscious and spreading Krishna consciousness in this world. But we could win the war. We will win the war. Prabhupada said, united we stand, divided we fall. He used the example of the sticks. Prabhupada was very concerned about unity. He used this example of sticks from Aesop's fables, which I'm sure you all know. If you put all many little twigs in a bundle and tie them together, nobody can break it. Can't break it. Unity is strength. But you take each twig out, you break them all. No problem. So each and every one of us individually can easily be broken by Maya. But when we're united, there is no power on earth that can break us, individually or collectively. That is what Prabhupada taught. That is why in this age, Sankirtan, to glorify God and His name together, is the means. So yes, we're fighting this massive battle against Maya, both individually and collectively. And there's only a few of us. And Maya's attacking, and we're on the front lines. And we start having arguments. And we start getting envious of each other. And then we start shooting at each other. We start shooting arrows at each other. Is that the way you fight a war? If you're in the battlefield, even if you don't like anything about your fellow comrades, you're going to defend each other and cooperate for your life. Yes? That's intelligence. That's what is required in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's family is responsible to each other to keep Prabhupada's will alive. It's not a matter of keeping the family alive, because the family is meaningless unless it's representing Prabhupada. Yes? We have to be united. We have to be united to manifest Prabhupada's will amongst ourselves. And manifest Prabhupada's will to the world. Then this family is alive and well. And how to do that? For that, we must understand basic principles within Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, purity is the force. And books are the basis. How do we become pure? Through chanting Harinam, through Harikatha, through Bhagavan Seva. And it's only possible, according to Rupa Goswami, to do all of these things. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, living in a holy place or coming to a temple, worshipping the deities, worshipping Tulsi. But it's only possible, Rupa Goswami explains, if we have proper association of devotees. We explained this morning, Prabhupada told so many times that the purpose of all of our temples and all of our mission is to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. So this association is all important. It is the substance of our lives. So Srila Prabhupada, his life was to give us this message. And our life is to live by this message. So how? How does Prabhupada's books explain we can preserve unity in the age of quarrel and hypocrisy? There must be humility. There must be honesty. There must be spiritual purity. It's all important. We must chant the holy name attentively every day. We must read Prabhupada's books regularly. We must participate amongst one another in creating an environment where his will is alive. This is how to chant, which is the basis of our whole society, is to chant Hare Krishna. To offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. Now, how does that translate practically into our daily lives? Prabhupada and the Acharyas taught us we're not only saying this prayer when we bow down to the Paramahamsas or to the great sannyasis or mahatmas. We're offering these obeisances to each other. Yes, when we greet each other. Raghunath Das Goswami would offer obeisances to minimum 2,000 people every day as a regulative principle. And he happened to be the Prayojana Acharya.
Hare Krishna.
That means the Acharya representing the highest essence of spiritual perfection. So to offer respect, to honor each other as Vaishnavas, to be without egoistic, sectarian motives, is absolutely essential. To think that I'm better than you, or mine is better than yours, is simply mundane ego. It may be in the guise of some esoteric spiritual revelation. Yes. That my temple is better than your temple. That my guru is better than your guru. If you have this mentality, you're not helping Prabhupada's mission. This is simply false ego. How does that fit in Amanina Manadena? Offering all respect to others and expecting none in return. In my heart, we may think that my guru is best. But in somebody else's heart, they are thinking something different. Yes? What does that mean? That means Krishna and Prabhupada are revealing themselves in different ways to different people with the same message. So what is our position? We should be encouraging one another. We should be taking humble positions to one another. We should be encouraging everyone's faith in Prabhupada's family. That's a family, spiritually. Amanina Manadena. We want to really chant the holy name in such a way that's pleasing to Krishna, we must all be trying to encourage each other's faith. We must be encouraging each other's enthusiasm. Then there can be love, and there can be trust. We must take seriously following Prabhupada's instructions. Keeping Prabhupada's family together is not about just creating different sects. He wanted an international society that was united. different temples, different leaders. There's a chitta veda veda tattva. There's a oneness, but there's a sweet variegatedness, which makes that oneness even more pleasing to everyone. It's not that the sweet variegatedness disturbs the oneness. It should make the oneness sweeter for everyone. So that is an important principle. But also, striving for purity. Keeping Prabhupada's family alive, it doesn't mean, you know, a group of initiated devotees going to the cinema. That's not what it means. Is that what Prabhupada wanted? It means devotees are striving to live in Prabhupada's footsteps. And that means we all must take responsibility. The congregational devotees, the temple devotees, everyone. We must unite together. We must actually be forgiving, liberal to the shortcomings of others, encouraging to all others, and at the same time striving as hard as we can to be a strict example ourselves. That's what a preacher is about. Srila Prabhupada, if we just study Prabhupada's life, we understand what a Vaishnava is and how he acts in various circumstances. Philosophically, Prabhupada never compromised. In Prabhupada's own lifestyle, he was such a strict, perfect example. But when his devotees fell, even into abominable conditions, he didn't condemn them. He was like a loving father trying to pick them up and help them. Yes? I don't want to mention names, but there was one devotee who Prabhupada, the man was an early disciple of Prabhupada. He fell into abominable activities. He was breaking all the regulative principles. He was not performing sadhana. But Prabhupada was crying to Krishna to rescue him.
Hare Krishna.
And I know as a fact, I've heard it on tapes, I've seen it with my own eyes, where Prabhupada, he'd come to a place and he'd say to the devotees, where is this person? Have you seen him? Can you bring him here? Most devotees didn't know where he was. But after a couple of years, that devotee in Hawaii, Prabhupada heard he was there, and he was asking devotees, come, bring him here, bring him here. And this person came in with long hair and big beard, and no principles, no sadhana. He came because of Prabhupada's love and concern for his spiritual welfare. This person's heart melted. He came to Prabhupada's room and just fell at his feet and was weeping. And Prabhupada picked him up and embraced him, and he was weeping. And started giving him incredible encouragement and giving him all types of service to render just to try to revive him. That's how Prabhupada dealt with fallen souls who were his disciples. There was a sannyasi who fell down, who got married, had a child. Now, philosophically, Prabhupada was very strong about the way sannyasi should live. And Prabhupada was an exemplary sannyasi himself. But when this devotee did that, Prabhupada called for him. And when he came before him, Prabhupada personally, with his own hands, gave gifts for him to give to his wife and baby, just to encourage him. Come back and do whatever. You may be fallen and everything else, but come back and do service. Help this mission, and you will be saved. That is compassion. To remain exemplary and strong as far as possible in our own lives, to always preserve the pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada, but in application, to try to encourage and enthuse everyone to come up, to not push anyone down. And even if a person slips and falls, or even if a person jumps. We should do whatever we can to bring them up, to encourage them. And they won't. And how did Prabhupada encourage them? No matter how fallen they were, he made them feel loved and cared for. And almost every one of them came back because of that. Prabhupada said, do as I am doing. We cannot imitate him, but we can understand the spirit. Respect. Prabhupada taught us that a family is dysfunctional if there's no respect for elders. Yes? This is true with any traditional family. What to speak of a spiritual family? Prabhupada taught etiquette. This westernized conception that everybody's just equal. Spiritually, we're all equal. As far as we're all spirit souls. But Vaishnava etiquette is very, very... Prabhupada's own example. He was sannyasi. But there's letters where he's writing to god brothers that were grihasthas, that were older than him in age, and in the mat longer than him, and Prabhupada's offering his dandavat obeisances and treating him as a superior. That's etiquette. Elder people should be respected. People very much senior to us in the practicing of bhakti should be respected in a certain way. Our peers should be respected in a certain way. And people who are subordinate should be respected in a certain way. Vaishnava etiquette is really simply about humility and respect. How to respect every particular type of devotee. But there is a special type of respect for elders, for seniors. It's family. In India, I go to some traditional families, even in Bombay, and every morning when the children wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is go to their parents and touch their feet and put the dust on their head. That's the tradition. And the parents go to their parents, the grandparents, and they touch their feet and put it on their head. That is respect. Prabhupada said, I'm not saying it for any personal reason, but Prabhupada said that if you don't bow down to a sannyasi when you first see him, you have to fast all day. Now, why is Prabhupada saying that? And he's saying that to his disciples. And they're all God brothers and God sisters. Yes? They're all God brothers and God sisters. He's not saying it because a sannyasi should just be proud and bow down to thee, I am sannyasi, otherwise you fast. Because Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita explains what sannyasi is about. Would you like to hear? Raghunath Das Goswami, the ultimate sannyasi, Goswami. He approached Lord Chaitanya through Swarup Damodar Goswami and he inquired. So Raghunath Das Goswami, I already renounced massive opulences, riches, prestige, and power. He left it all to become a simple mendicant in Puri. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, what is the duties of a renounced order? I have given up everything, but I don't know what my duty is. Please tell me. Prabhupada said, the duty of a person in the renounced order of life, gramya katana shunibe, gramya varatana kodibe, varana kodibe yara, varana kodibe. Do not speak gossip. Gramya katha. Do not speak gossip about mundane subject matters and do not hear about it. Do not dress opulently and do not eat too luxuriously. Amanina, amanatena. And then he explained that you should offer all respect to others. You should expect none in return. You should always chant the holy names of Krishna. And in your mind, you should always meditate on Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. These are the duties of a renunciate. And then he said, for Swarup Damodar Goswami, he knows all these subjects perfectly. You can ask him. But then Lord Chaitanya gave one more instruction about what are the duties of a sannyasi. What are the duties of, what is the real spirit of renunciation? Would you like to know what he said?
Yes.
This is Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami of what renunciation is about. Trinada Bisamichena Turohi Vasayashuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhani. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction. Not just how to chant the holy names, but this is what renunciation is. So yes, Prabhupada gave this instruction to all sannyasis, to be more humble than grass, more tolerant than tree, ready to offer all respect to others and none in return. But he also told everyone that if you don't offer respect when you first see them, you should fast. Hare. Now what that means in spirit is Prabhupada was trying to imbibe within us an understanding of the etiquette of respect for elders and superiors. And let us take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example. Ramchandra Puri was a fallen rascal. But Lord Chaitanya offered him all respects because he had a senior position. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada emphasizes this in purport. One must respect one's gurus, god brothers, and god sisters the same way you respect your guru. That is Vaishnava etiquette. Lord Chaitanya honored Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, and others like this the same way he honored Ishwara Puri. And when Govinda and Kashishwar Pandit came to serve Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, I can't accept service from my god brothers. But because it was the order of his guru that they do that service, he surrendered, he accepted. So Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they explain, it's Prabhupada's order in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one must respect the gurus, god brothers, and in this line, God's sisters as well, as the guru. This is called etiquette, respect for elders. Even if they may be fallen by certain technical matters or moral matters or sadhana matters, even if they may be a little fallen, still, we must offer respect to them. If they're very fallen, we may not associate with them intimately, but we must respect them. And if they're in good standing, we should not only respect them, but we should want to serve them. That is Vaishnava culture. That is Prabhupada's instruction. So to keep Prabhupada's family actually alive means to keep it vibrant with the presence of Prabhupada. And that can only be to the degree we treat each other according to Prabhupada's instruction and to the degree we really strive to purify our own hearts according to Prabhupada's instruction. And also to the degree we are united to spread the glories of Prabhupada's instruction to the whole world. So these are a few thoughts about keeping Prabhupada's family alive. And I'll say something. In my very humble opinion, Prabhupada is teaching something that is so high. He has given a culture that is so deep. Keeping his family alive is not going to come just from some, you know, casual meetings. They may help. They may be very necessary just to create some environment of communication. But to keep Prabhupada's family alive means to keep the burning desire of the compassion of Prabhupada's heart as the center of all of our relationships, and to strive for that, to really strive for that. Prabhupada said that there are so many philanthropic movements in this world, and there are so many religions that are teaching compromised basic religious principles. There should be one movement in this world that is teaching unconditional, unmotivated love for the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead Krishna. And that is what ISKCON represents. This is not just an ordinary religious movement. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, spreading the ecstatic love of Vrindavan throughout the world. Yes, to keep Prabhupada's family alive is our responsibility, every one of us. We must really, really work and strive according to our capacity to purify our own heart by chanting the holy names, by reading Prabhupada's books, by serving the Vaishnavas, and by trying to help this mission spread. By creating a sangam of humility, respect, and enthusiasm for devotional service. And if we just try, Krishna will help us. We have to individually take responsibility. We can't just depend on the temple to do it all for us. We all have to take responsibility. The temple devotees, the congregational devotees, all generations of devotees, we must take responsibility. That we can be empowered. We can be united. We can be effulgent. What Prabhupada wanted is not just a couple straggly people just beating a mridanga on the side of the road. Prabhupada wanted an effulgent army of blissful, united people who are spreading the glories of Nam Sankirtan in every city of the world. And of all cities, London is one of the most important. This is Prabhupada's European headquarters. All the European continent and the island of the UK, Prabhupada made this the European headquarters. So how very, very, very important it is to Prabhupada that there is a shining, purified manifestation of bhakti that we emanate. And that does not come cheaply. That comes through sincere sadhana, very, very sincere humility and cooperation and enthusiasm to work together. It's not easy. But Prabhupada was weeping with a faltering voice, begging each and every one of us to do this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Would anyone like to speak something? Yes, Mataji, Hare Bo.
How we can show faithfulness to Srila Prabhupada, what really means to be faithful to Srila Prabhupada's movement?
Prabhupada said ISKCON was his body. And those who were really close with Srila Prabhupada, they know what ISKCON meant to Prabhupada. Through thick or thin, whatever may happen, those who really were close to Prabhupada, they understood that they have to remain loyal and faithful to ISKCON as a society. Because it's Prabhupada's life's work. It's Prabhupada's offering to the Parampara, the ISKCON movement. To make it united, to make it strong, is being faithful to Prabhupada. To not go elsewhere. To make sacrifices. To remain faithful. We may not like it. There were instances in Prabhupada's life, and we're just speaking, you know, because we have to reveal what Prabhupada's heart was. There were people in Prabhupada's life who really complained strongly about ISKCON and the way things were being done. And some of the things they were saying, I'm sure, were right. Prabhupada was very, very, very strong. Very strong. No matter what, you remain within this movement. No matter what, we work together to make it better. Anyone can criticize, but what does it really mean to be faithful to Prabhupada? To understand what was Prabhupada's heart. And to be faithful to Prabhupada means to be faithful to the society which is his life's offering to the Parampara, to be faithful to his instructions, to be faithful to each other, fellow devotees. Being faithful to Prabhupada is not a cheap thing. It's a very serious thing, and it takes serious sacrifice. Yes? To be faithful to a husband is not an easy thing. To be faithful to a wife is not an easy thing. It takes a lot of tolerance, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of forgiving, a lot of humility, doesn't it? To be faithful to our spiritual master means to really understand what his mission, what his mood. To be faithful to follow Prabhupada means to chant at least 16 rounds every day, to follow the four regulative principles. To cooperate with the devotees and to try to make his mission a wonderful vehicle to save millions of souls within this world. That's what it means to be faithful to Prabhupada. Doesn't mean just keeping his picture on your altar and offering some flowers. Doesn't mean just saying I love Prabhupada or saying Prabhupada Ki Jai louder than anyone. It means actual dedication. But why did Prabhupada give us such strong instructions? Because he loves us. Because that's what we need. Hari Bol. And let us have your tongue.